Welcome back to the Content That Grows podcast. I'm excited today to be joined by Jess Cook, a creative director turned content marketer with more than 15 years of experience on B2C brands like Eggo, Rice Krispies, Blue Cross, Cottonelle, and McDonald's. In 2019, she made the move to B2B SaaS and is currently head of content at Lasso, a software platform for event production companies. She also co-hosts That's Marketing Baby, a weekly podcast filled with hot takes, actionable insights, plenty of sarcasm. Today, we're going to be chatting about the importance of solid narratives in content and overall learning more about Jess's perspectives on content for B2B SaaS. Welcome to the show, Jess. Excited to have you.
Thanks for having me, Nate. Longtime listener, first time caller.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. I appreciate all the engagement we've had across LinkedIn and everything. Appreciate sharing and feedback and everything on the podcast. It's been really great. So excited to have you today.
Thank you.
So jumping in, I'm excited. I think this is maybe a topic that's not covered quite as much. So really going to dig in a lot around the idea of having narratives in the content. So I'd love to maybe just have you start with a quick overview of what you mean by that and kind of set up what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, you talked a little bit about my background. I think that's probably why this topic is so near and dear to my heart. I think my work on kind of B2C brands and, outside of SaaS has helped me become a storyteller and then kind of bringing that over to SaaS. I didn't really want to let that part go. And so I think, you know, when it comes to creating really good content, a narrative is really, really essential. And so what I really mean by that is, you know, there has to be some sort of story and point of view. I think we all kind of start thinking about topics first, right? Like, oh, yeah. The keyword lends itself to a topic. And so we're going to talk about, I don't know, project management or event production, right? But that is just a topic. It's not really a story. And I think in order to have that story or that narrative, you have to have a really solid point of view. And sometimes that, like, getting to that point of view takes some work, talking to leadership, like what do we want to be known for in the market and kind of getting those types of things approved and aligned upon so that you can build something that really stands out and kind of plants a flag in the ground of what you stand for.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you mentioned that it's more than like just a topic. So I'd love for maybe you just like dig in a bit more there and elaborate on kind of how you see that they are different than topics, which I think is a very common thing people talk about with content.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, there's a topic and you can have multiple narratives around one topic. So for instance, you know, a topic for Lasso might be like event production, right? But a narrative around that might be, you know, event production companies need an all-in-one solution to do everything from, proposals to invoicing. And that's a narrative. Like, that's an imperative for people to be like, oh, okay, I kind of understand, like, where they're going to go with this. I understand maybe, like, what their point of view is. And I'm sure they have some sort of, you know, credibility or expertise in the area to back that up. So, you might then go at event production from a different narrative. Something like how do you build the best possible event creative, right? Like, how to build a theme of an event, how to create experiences at the event that lead back to that theme, right? So I think there's lots of different narratives around a topic. And I think we sometimes conflate the two. We're like, a topic isn't necessarily the story, but we get so hung up on the keyword and like really trying to hit that hard that we kind of forget that next step.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's really helpful distinction. And I think it's kind of brings to mind for me, like a thing that we talk about a lot is like themes. So even kind of higher than any topics, just sort of like a theme. So I feel like the theme is maybe just not as specific, you know, so it may be kind of this mix of like what you do or who you do it for or whatever. Like, you know, we a theme I think that we had a lot at Sprout was like social media management for small businesses or whatever. Like, and so then that kind of like is not quite what you're saying in narrative, but it's also more than just like a topic. It was very much like it had a lot of topics within it. But then there's certainly, I think, you know, I'm not going to try to remember them exactly off the top of my head, but I know we had the narratives are kind of coming to mind, I guess, as you're saying that. So I think that's really helpful to break that out. And I would love to just kind of take the next step then, which is then like, how do you actually say you want to build a strategy over the next 12 months, you know, content strategy? How do you start with the narratives and then kind of think about topics, or do you sort of research topics and build plans and then kind of figure out how to like weave the narrative in? Like,
what's your thoughts? I do there? Really quick, I want to double click on something you just said, because I think it's really important to know that like if you have multiple audiences, the narrative might be a little different, right? The topic could be the same.
Yep.
But the narrative might be a little different. And so I think what you were kind of, your theme that you were talking about feels like an intermediate step, right? Like there's the topic, and then there's like, you know, okay, you know, social media for small businesses. How do we focus around that? Like, what are the stories we need to tell small businesses about social media management that makes sense for them? So I think that's a really smart, like little, like 1, 2, 3 kind of step process.
Yeah.
In terms of building a strategy, I think it's very much that, right? Where you have to get the audience down first. So for instance, at Lasso, we're focused on a single audience because we know that they are most likely to be basically the job title that clicks book a demo. And from there, most likely title to continue to be a customer after the demo. So those two pieces of information made us feel really confident in going after that audience. And so now we kind of know like, okay, with that audience and the topics that we have credibility and expertise in, what narratives can we start to build for them? So, you know, things like how to, you know, a lot of event production companies know how to produce an event, but don't know how to market their own company, right? Don't know how to differentiate themselves or like find an ICP. Like that's all marketing language that's kind of foreign to them. So like, how can we help those companies do those things that maybe is a little bit out of our realm of event production, but still incredibly helpful to them? Like that can absolutely be a narrative. It doesn't always have to tie back to the product either.
Right. Yep. Cool. Yeah. And I think that makes sense. It's really kind of getting into the heart of a lot of what you're trying to do with content is solve pain for your ideal customer. You're trying to add value, educate them, make them better at their jobs, everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Along those lines.
For sure.
Yeah. That's really cool. So, you know, if someone were listening right now and kind of thinking like, wow, I really need to do this. In your mind, is this like, hey, really spend a long time, whatever it might be, you know, 2 months or a quarter or something, like work through this with your internal team, refine it, like really nail down these narratives before you start to implement them in any way? Or do you think that they sort of come out over time and you kind of iterate on them and potentially even test them? Or like, I guess kind of understand, like, is it like do it right from the beginning so that everything works? Or is it more like evolve over time?
Yeah. That's a great question. I think like for me, personally, I am much more geared toward like action and like, let's get going. Let's try something. So I'm much more of the mind to maybe find one or two narratives that feel right and like act on them, because this is always going to evolve. You know, before COVID, we didn't have any of that as a narrative, right? Like there was, so things are always going to happen, that are going to bring in, you know, new ideas and new stories that you could possibly tell, in the larger market, in your industry, right? And so I think you just always have to be on the lookout for like, what are those little things that are happening that you might be able to capitalize on and build a point of view and a narrative around? in terms of like testing them out, I love using social as a place to just kind of like talk about it a little bit. Like, hey, you know, here's like a, here's a little narrative I think could work well. Let's talk about, there's actually a pretty big kind of trend in the events industry right now. You know, a lot of people that were, you know, the lighting technicians and the sound designers and light design and things like that. Like during COVID, a lot of them left the industry because there were no events. Mm-hmm. And so now there's kind of this shortage of really good talent. And so that's a big trend that we can talk about, right? Like how to become the type of company your, you know, talent really wants to be at. So that's a trend that we're kind of like diving into right now and talking about that from a perspective of just like helping people get back on their feet because now the demand is so high. So like taking that idea and just putting it maybe in a LinkedIn post, right? Like find the channel where you're going to be able to get the most engagement historically, where you've gotten the most engagement. So you can kind of see, do people like this? Should I do more? Like maybe we need a video series about this if there's really great engagement, or maybe we need a blog post, right? So social is a really nice place to test that out because it's a pretty light lift. You can kind of just throw some thoughts out and see how people react.
Yeah, I like that because I, you know, as you started talking about that, the question in the back of my head was like, how on earth do you measure that? You know, like if you test it in a blog post or something, like it would be very hard to tell, you know, and I don't think it's worth trying to, you know, do heat maps or scroll depth or, you know, something like that. I don't think it's really going to tell you. So I think that's a good point that social brings a lot of the engagement, comments, you know, questions, or is it, you know, people trying to understand what you mean, or is it a lot more agreeing with you and like tell you that it's resonating? So
yeah, I
think that makes sense. Yeah, it's a good example too with the talent shortage.
Thank you. Yeah, I think part of it too is just like I don't think you have to have like one KPI where you're like, yes, this story is now, you know, this narrative is definitely striking a nerve with this group and we should proceed. Like, I think it's kind of like, oh, we're getting above average engagement on this. Like, let's do more, you know? It doesn't have to be so scientific or specific. You can kind of just go off of like, oh yeah, this is doing better than, you know, a lot of the stuff we do.
Yeah, absolutely. So two general sort of narratives I think that would kind of come to mind for me when I think about what we're doing at 10Speed right now that are very timely are like, obviously companies, because we do a lot with SaaS, so like there's been a lot of layoffs, there's been a lot of budget cuts, so there's just some questions around like how teams should be prioritizing marketing investments and, you know, sort of balancing short-term and long-term, and there's a lot of like doing more with less and all that stuff. And then there's obviously the other part, which is like all the AI conversations and sort of some of that narrative and how that's influencing. To me, those both feel very like noisy, very crowded. And so when you kind of have like, from what you're explaining, like narrative is, you know, somewhat timely and relevant to a business at that time. Just would love some insights or tips on kind of like, how do you actually make, like tap into that and be timely and relevant, but make it stand out. Feels like that's maybe a bit of a more fine point on it.
I think that's a really, really great thing to bring up because there are so many of those like trends in the market that a lot of people can jump on the bandwagon, right? And so you have to make it feel different, like you say. April Dunford is like the master of this, right? I believe it's her who said like there, you have to have some sort of differentiation, even if it's only the fact that like you're 2% different in this one little area. So I think part of that comes down to what differentiates you from the competition or, you know, others in the market. And then how do you take that bit of differentiation and create a narrative that is only ownable to your brand? So, you know, I think for instance, Lasso is like the only kind of all-in-one platform, for event companies. Right. And so we're trying to take that thought and like our point of view is going to be anchored around that idea that like, we're the only ones in the industry where you can do everything from A to Z. And I think you just have to kind of find like, what is that thing? And not what is the thing you think it is? What is the thing your customers tell right. you it is? Right. And capitalize on that to create those narratives that only you can say.
Yep. I think that's great. Awesome. I this is really a super interesting topic. And like I said, you know, early on, I think there's a lot of nuance to this, that it's not just who's your audience. It's not the themes, like I mentioned before, but it's also not what's the very specific topic or topic cluster that we're going to go after, or, you know, anything like that. So I think it's, I really enjoyed this, and I think it brings a lot of depth to that, like you said, sort of that middle step of that strategy. And so I guess before we move on to the next section, just anything else you want to, that I didn't cover, you wanted to kind of call out around this?
I will say, just to kind of touch back on your point of, you know, this theme of AI, right? Like, these narratives and having an opinion are going to be so important moving forward. Because it's going to differentiate your content from whatever garbage is being pumped out that doesn't have it, right? People are moving things on AI left and right, and AI can't necessarily form that opinion and that kind of ownable narrative for you. That absolutely has to come with kind of a human touch. So I think moving forward, like, this thought pattern of trying to find the thing that makes it unique to you is going to be really, really important.
Yeah, I completely agree. Yeah, awesome. Well, let's shift over then into kind of the final four. We'll run through the four questions we like to ask everyone. So first is, I'd love to just have you kind of share a recent success or recent learning that you've had.
So I just started at Lasso 3 months ago. And before that, I was at a company called Marpipe. And Marpipe, their software tested ad creative. And my background being in B2C advertising, that felt like a really, really nice fit for me to kind of be that first like head of content role. I was really excited about, hey, this is something I know a lot about, I have experience in, I can speak authoritatively to. And I, you know, I was there for over a year and I loved what we built there and what we created there. But there was a point when I was, you know, kind of thinking about making this move to Lasso where I was like, am I actually a good marketer or am I just a really good at marketing this thing, right? This thing that I have a lot of expertise and background in. And so that made me a little nervous to make that jump into something that I didn't have kind of firsthand experience with. And so that's been a big win for me because, you know, after 3 months, I'm seeing that like, yeah, I do know what I'm doing. I can jump into a company or a brand that, you know, I don't have, 15 years of experience in and really create something that's impactful. So that has been a big win for me, a big confidence booster. Obviously my team has helped a lot there, but I think that felt really affirming for me.
Yeah, that's awesome. I understand that for sure. You know, sort of the music artist, great, you know, first debut album is a huge hit, and then there's the sophomore album. You know, will they be, you know, stand the test of time, or were they kind of the one album?
One hit success? Wonder, yeah. That's such a good analogy. So true.
Yeah. I'm not surprised to hear that it's going well and glad to hear that. But I think that's good. I'm sure that's a thing that a lot of folks worry about is sort of, this worked well, but was it sort of a fluke and circumstance and everything? So
it's and great to hear. The structure of the company is different too. Marpipe was pretty streamlined. We had kind of one thing we were known for. Lasso has like 8 products. We're very like product kind of led and focused. I'm doing a lot more product marketing than I've ever done before, which is very fun and exciting and just a new skill that I'm working to level up a bit. So that too, like not just the focus or the industry that I was in, but like the actual structure of the company and the product and how marketing was going to function was very different. And so it was like I was jumping from like the kiddie pool to like the Olympic lap pool. And am I going to be able to make it, you know?
Yeah, I think that's cool. And I think there's a lot too with like, I personally value the variety. You know, I think there's some folks, like from my experience at Sprout, like people in my in a similar role would potentially only go look to be like join another SaaS company at a similar stage that has the same motion, same like, size of customer, like, and really just try to like join something that they can do it again, versus, you know, my preference, you know, did that. And then I moved to consulting, which is a completely different motion. And then started an agency, which is a completely different motion. And, to me that I think is, there's just a lot more learnings. Like you said, sort of the type of business, more products, you're now learning product marketing. Like, I think that's cool. And then you just get to work with different people too and learn from different people and
absolutely. And
yeah. All that. So great. Yeah. I'm glad to hear it's going well.
Thank you.
Yeah. So for Lasso, like what role does content play in sort of the overall marketing strategy?
So content is actually relatively new. I think just in the last year, they've really started to focus on, you know, creating content, having a blog. They started a podcast before I joined that they had gotten running really smoothly. So it's a pretty new muscle for them. But I think what it is doing for us is, you know, when I joined, our top performing blog posts, kind of like our highest traffic blog posts, had to do with, you know, what is an A1, which is like the lead audio technician, right? So it was kind of like explaining what that position is all about. Someone coming and looking at that is not necessarily going to be buying Lasso, right? They're probably more likely to, you know, like join our crew marketplace as someone who might go work an event, but they're not going to purchase the software. And so it was really important to me when I got there, like, great, we have this awesome motion going, we're publishing, but are we publishing the right stuff for the right people? And so that was really important to me to like make that pivot pretty quickly, like find out who, you know, like I said, like who is that title, that job title or that persona that is booking most often and who's most likely to stick around as a customer for a long period of time. So
yes,
finding out who that was and then very quickly understanding like, what do they need to know? What do we need to be sharing with them and making sure that the content we're creating is still bringing people in, but the right people in. And so that has been a pretty big shift for us. And we've seen that work really, really well, even just in the, you know, 3 months that I've been there. The podcast, we're inviting more CEOs and kind of like executive leadership onto the show. We're creating blog post content for, you know, those kind of like the leadership level at these event production companies. So it's been a pretty big shift, but I think it's one our team has handled really, really well. And I think it's going to pay off for us, you know, in spades.
Yeah, I'm certain it will. I mean, it makes me happy to hear that because that's, to me, like the number one factor in B2B content strategy is actually starting with who do you want to be coming to your site? Who do you want to build as an audience? You know, and what matters to them. And as you said, even more importantly, not just who do you want, but like who converts the best, who sticks around as like a valuable customer to the company. 'Cause you know, we certainly encounter like there's millions of, you know, SEO consultants and all kinds of people who their primary motivation is like, how do I just grow traffic really fast?
Yeah.
And that like, it works. Like there are certainly ways to approach that and it works. But we end up engaging with a lot of companies that say, we worked with someone, traffic grew, it did nothing. Like there's no business impact. And so I think that's really the core of it. And so I think you're, what was it called? An A1? That post?
Yeah.
What is an A1? Yeah. I mean, that's a great example. You know, like it's good and it's at least still somewhat relevant. We've certainly come across some really highly irrelevant stuff, but yeah, I think that's great to hear and kind of understand that shift that you're making there is awesome.
Yeah.
So I guess beyond that, then I think one thing that people always love to understand is just like how different teams measure success? So like, how do you define success for you and your team at Lasso?
So a couple different ways. One is we do have like a company-wide revenue goal. We have a company-wide, we have kind of like a shared marketing and sales demos booked goal. Yep. And then each person on the marketing team has an individual goal each quarter that we work with our manager to set. And those individual goals ladder up to the demos goals, which obviously ladders up to that revenue goal. So there is a very motivating kind of goal structure that allows us to like actually grow the company and do the things we need to do to hit our numbers, which is really exciting. So there's kind of that side of it. In terms of like how we measure content performance, I think we look at all the kind of normal like conversion rates and things like that. Something I'm really focused on this year, though, is really strategic repurposing. Mm-hmm. Something that I've just been calling like the repurposing multiplier. So mm-hmm. I've been keeping tabs on, how many people actually listened to the whole podcast episode, whether that's on YouTube or on Apple and Spotify, whatever. But then how did we use all of that content, repurpose it, and what's the multiplier? What's the kind of delta between those two things in terms of how many people consumed it? Yep. And so that's something I've been keeping an eye on. In Q4, we were able to get like an 11.5x repurposing multiplier. So we're kind of using that as a baseline for like each quarter. We want to continue to see that number either grow or at least sit at that baseline. And then when our team grows, we would expect that to grow as well. So that's something I'm keeping an eye on, especially during this like weird economic, who knows what this is. Because I think that's just how we're going to win and doing more with less.
Yes. Yes. I love that. And I love that you're actually tracking it. We've had some prior conversations around how do you actually measure content distribution and some of that stuff. And I agree. And I know, I think it was Rand Fishkin, maybe a long time ago, called out, because he obviously has a very large audience, and so you can get some really big numbers.
Yeah.
But it's true, even at a small scale, that like a 2 to 5 minute video clip from like a 30 to 40 minute video can actually like commonly net out more hours watched. It's like cumulative hours watched on that short clip than actually the long video overall. And so I think that speaks to that power of how much more total distribution and like consumption that you get from breaking some of that up and actually doing the repurposing. So that's really
absolutely
cool.
Yeah. And sometimes like those little nuggets, like those, that's like the money shot, right? Like that's the, in two sentences, the thing you were trying to get across in that webinar or that presentation anyway. Right. So it's that, it's like the value of that 2 minutes is often larger than the value of sitting there for 30 minutes to get that same message. So, I think it's really important to find those pieces and just use them wherever you can and just get, more bang for your content buck.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I like the way the company does goals as well. I mean, I think that's, it can get so overcomplicated so quickly. And so I like, sort of really focusing everyone on revenue, having one or two, core metrics that we feel like are the kind of the leading indicators into that revenue goal, and then letting folks kind of say, what do I need to do to build towards that? So
really cool. One other metric I love to look at is branded search clicks. I like to go into Google Analytics or Search Console and just kind of see like, is the number of people searching for anything, Lasso software, Lasso event management, Lasso whatever, is that growing? Because that tells me, as like someone very, very obsessed with brand, like is the brand growing? Are more people knowing who we are and what we do? So that's another one I'm really focused on this year of just like, do people know who we are? I think as a kind of growth stage company, that's really important. And so that's kind of the other one I'm keeping my eye on, and just making sure that like, more people are hearing the name Lasso this month than last month.
Yes. I have two questions because now I want to dig in on that a little
bit. Okay, let's hear it.
One is certainly if you know if you were to go into like, gosh, what's that called? Google Insights.
Yeah.
Yeah. Google. Yeah. The trend. Google Trends. Gosh, I don't know why I can't think of that. Lasso, very mixed intent word on its own. So I'm assuming you mentioned kind of looking in Search Console and stuff. The how aggressively do you go kind of filter out things that look like they're actually the wrong intent, or do you kind of just take it for what it is and look at it overall?
I'm definitely filtering out Ted Lasso. okay, there's a lot of Ted Lasso stuff in there, but I'm looking at long tail stuff too. So, you know, anything that I mentioned that mentions events is really important. So I am doing a bit of filtering, but I also don't want to overthink it because it's really just an estimate and it's Google. So it's like, who knows how accurate it actually is anyway. But yeah, I think just making sure that it's not just the word lasso, but anything lasso plus event, lasso plus software, that all feels like, okay, that feels pretty high intent.
Yeah, cool. That makes sense. And then my other question is, on what frequency do you look? I mean, certainly, like, you know, week over week would be pointless.
Yeah.
But, you know, is it kind of quarter over quarter, or just kind of like not really even comparing and just kind of keeping an eye on it? Like, kind of would love to understand that as well.
I've been looking month over month, but even that sometimes feels like a little trivial. So quarter over quarter feels like a little bit, it definitely gives me that dopamine boost more so than month over month, seeing it quarter over quarter. So I think like I check on it month over month, but like what I actually share with people on the team is like, hey, this quarter we went from this to this, right? So I think the story that we want to tell is definitely quarterly.
Yeah. Okay. Very cool. I love that. The last question I have, would just love to know, what's your least favorite marketing conversation happening on social and why?
All right. This is going to date me because, you know, I'm like, there was a point when TikTok came out and I was like, nope, I can't learn another platform. I'm going to leave that to somebody else younger than me.
Yeah.
So my least favorite conversation right now is like, you have to get on TikTok. Everyone's on TikTok. And if you're not there, you're missing out. And I think that for two reasons. One, I don't think everyone is on TikTok. I think a certain segment of people are on TikTok. I don't think my, you know, Lasso's audience is there necessarily, or a portion of that, a large enough portion of them where it would make sense for me to focus on that as a channel for us.
Right.
And two, I have a 10-year-old daughter, and her and all of her friends are obsessed with YouTube Shorts. And I have this prediction, you know, I'm N of one, but like based on that at some point, like that YouTube Shorts is just going to surpass TikTok anyway. And I think YouTube Shorts just has a much lower barrier for marketers. It's really simple to repurpose, to use that as a repurposing and a testing channel right now. But also just much easier in terms of like, oh, if you wanted to create something for Shorts, I think it's a lot easier than it is to go into TikTok and kind of figure out what the lingo is there, what all the trends are right now, and trying to dive into that. I think the barrier is a bit lower for Shorts. So that's my hot take rant on TikTok.
No, I like it. I agree. I think anytime someone says that you have to be on a certain channel is a red flag in itself. Yeah. I think, so I have my oldest is 12, also a lot of YouTube Shorts consumption. So you're N of one, moved to two.
Okay, excellent. I feel validated.
But yeah, I think there's, it is definitely very, TikTok is very TikTok. Like there's a lot of nuance. And so I think trying it haphazardly, I don't think is a great plan. And also just doing, like, marketers love to do something once and push it to a lot of places. And I don't think that really works that well either. I think there's a decent amount of like TikTok and Instagram reels that make their way into like YouTube shorts as well, just being reposted there. But I think it just, I think it's very much a decision. And really, I think have to either have confidence your audience is already there or that they're going to be there.
Yeah.
And I, I think we've kind of gone back and forth on that a bit as well. But I think it's fair. Like I said, I think anytime you're trying to suggest that someone has to be on a certain channel.
Yeah. Question that heavily.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Awesome. Anything else you want to add before we wrap up?
No, this has been so fun.
Cool.
Seriously. I mean, like, I've been listening to this podcast for over a year. This is like an honor to be here. So thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Thanks for joining. Before we wrap up, can you just, share with folks how to find you and Lasso, anything else you'd like to promote the podcast?
Yeah. I'm pretty, active on LinkedIn. You can find me, Jess Cook. I'm the only one at Lasso. That's Jess Cook. And I have a podcast myself called, That's Marketing Baby. I co-host it with a friend of mine, Susan Wenegrad, who's like a 20-year media veteran. So she and I have a really nice kind of 360 view of all of the hot takes and opinions we have every week. So that's on Spotify and Apple Podcasts if you have space for one more podcast in your lineup.
Yes. Awesome. Cool. Thanks. And for everyone else, thanks for joining. You can find anything else you need on this episode and other episodes at 10speed.io/podcast. And similarly, find it on Spotify, and we'd love for you to like and subscribe. So thanks again, Jess. Really enjoyed having you on today.
Likewise, Nate. Thank you.